Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Tuesday morning. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden, thanks so much. It's the fastest 2 hours in radio on the Odyssey app. Number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. We promise you a couple of hours of entertainment as you are getting ready for a work week here in the middle of summer or driving the kids somewhere, coming back from camp, going on a sales call. Maybe you got 18 planned. Hopefully you're playing now and not in the middle of the day. It's going to be hot as heck out there as well. Or maybe you're just listening later on in the day on the Odyssey app. Who knows? That's what Sandy does when she's driving back from Panama City.
That's right. Totally entertained. Friday show with Mr. Mike Johnson and yesterday with Bo. You were paired with the greats. It was really good.
Yeah, it was fun to have both guys. Nice enough to stick around for two more hours after doing their three. Very different. You know, you got to be diverse. What do we always tell these young broadcasters, these young journalists?
Journalists!
You got to be a Swiss Army knife. Know how to do a little bit of everything. Know how to do some production. Know how to cut up sound. Something I never was able to do. But anyway, good for you guys. But be able to work with all kinds of folks.
That's what I pay you for.
Yeah.
That was my Steak Shapiro impression. You're welcome.
We haven't heard a lot of that. I'm surprised Mikey hasn't done more of that over the years. I was on with Dukes.
What were you calling in for them for yesterday?
I don't know. I listened to them every afternoon, and they were not in a mean-spirited way. They were calling me out because Mike is just all over. Keeps calling Kirk Cousins a liar, and he lied to us. And Stakey, you know, is telling me that I got a grudge and that to let it go. And, you know, so I just called in to say, you have a grudge, let it go. I essentially called. I was like, enough already. Kirk Cousins is doing what most athletes do. You think you can play through it. You think you can win even at 50%. And that was my only point. Enough already. Kirk Cousins was not going to sit himself down and get Michael Penix step in and possibly never get the job back. And that was my point. Anyways, I called in with them. We'll talk more about that topic a little bit later on. But just in general.
I have something to ask you because it reminded me of Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
Do you get annoyed on Instagram when your friends slash, not even friends, I got annoyed at Kirk, and I really like Kirk Cousins, but it annoys me because he's making all this money that he's like pimping some product because he doesn't do a ton of Instagram. So I don't know. I think I'm getting so annoyed that most of my feed is just people selling things, friends, celebrities, whatever. How do you feel about that?
I haven't noticed it as much because I don't know what feeds I'm on lately. Whatever it is.
You just get burgers and food probably?
Get a lot of food, yeah. A lot of travel because I'm going to Boston. So, again, I'm doing like research on where we got to go eat sandwiches and all that. I get a lot of that. I get it so much food, travel.
Right, right.
Sports, pretty ladies, you know, all those kind of things.
All the things you're interested in. There you go. All things interesting.
So, I don't know. I was kind of Kirk Cousins pushing this show QB, which is what he's doing now. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that annoys me a little bit, just the notion that, you know, yes, you're on the show. I mean, I know you want to promote it, and I guess you should be promoting. You're super proud of it. But the whole thing around the show is what's kind of annoying me, that they went back to Kirk Cousins. Like, with all the quarterbacks in the NFL, couldn't you find a different story?
I think it literally should be a rule that we're not going back to repeat.
Totally. And I'm talking agree with you more.
There are so many interesting backup quarterbacks that could be a great story. I mean, Jimmy GQ jumps out. Hey, now.
Well, why do you have to go to a backup quarterback?
I'm just saying, if you went to any quarterback, I'm assuming people said no, that that's the only reason they went back to the well.
Go to Jaden Daniels, what is it, Bo Nix, or
Jameis Winston.
Drake May of the Patriots. Go to a rookie quarterback from last year.
I can't. That's
like, don't go back to Kirk Cousins.
A million times.
We just had him.
100%.
And you should have been thinking, I did this. It was great. Let me worry about the Atlanta Falcons and not worry about cameras following me around because it is a distraction. And now I know I'm going to get irritated watching our 6-3 start turn into what it did, right? Like, that's going to be tough to watch for us. It's not tough to watch like Super Bowl tough to watch. It's not tough to watch like insert, you know, even when Mike Johnson was here talking about me and you in the Falcons press box next to each other saying, we're going to New Orleans. We're leading the 49ers by 10 at halftime. Tony Gonzalez, you know, they got it close, the Niners, and then we went up by 10, and it was like we weathered the storm. I think we were up 17-0 or something.
That's right.
And we're, like, making plans for New Orleans and working with Mike Johnson. You know, Mike is so humble and low-key that sometimes you forget the guy was the captain of Alabama football, mm-hmm. and he was the he was the captain of the national championship team. And you forget that he played for the Falcons for 5 years on that team that really could have gone to the Super Bowl and could have won the Super Bowl, which is the 49er team that goes to the Super Bowl that loses to, I think it was Jim Harbaugh. That was the Colin Kaepernick game when he's playing John Harbaugh. And I guess it was Joe Flacco. So, like, that was, you know, one of those games when we sit here and say, like, okay, watching us go from 3-6 to 6-7, the Saints lost, the Charger loss, the Vikings lost, that awful stretch we were in last year.
Yep.
It's not nearly as painful as some of these playoff moments, but it is going to be annoying to watch, don't you think? Like as we start to realize, like, dude, and they are going to do a great job editing him saying, I just can't go. Like, I mean, you will not see that. Like, you will not get some revelation. My God, look how hurt he was. You'll hear what I said on Dukes and Bell. One of the things we loved about the last QB show with Kirk Cousins is that what it took to get him healthy to play, the masseuses and the therapists and the nonstop, maybe he was getting his ass kicked. Do you remember the Buffalo game they came back from where Kirk Cousins was taking ridiculous hits?
After hit.
Remember the fourth?
He was by far the star, by far the most likable.
So,
I just feel like this one is going to be the Joe Burrow, then Jared. Exactly how they did it in the trailer. Joe Burrow starts it off, and then Jared, and then the subplot is going to be
he'll be the
Kirk
Marcus
Cousins.
Mariota of this one.
I just feel like there could have been another 30 quarterbacks you could have asked.
Any quarterback in the NFL would have given you a show.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins would be a great one if you hadn't already gone to him. Kirk Cousins coming back to Atlanta, trying to turn the Falcons around. What happened to him with, you know, getting benched? I mean, would have been fascinating, and it probably will still be fascinating. But he shouldn't have done the show. I don't want to watch it because I don't want to get annoyed, and I don't want to watch turn on the TV and have to relive that. We were there for the Charger game.
It's so good too. I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, the
it
level
last year.
Of filmmaking that the NFL does.
So not only is it NFL Films, you guys, it's Omaha Productions, and then wait for it. It is Pat Mahomes' company, 2PM Productions, as well, that have taken, he has taken an executive producer title on this thing. So I'm really intrigued because I think with Omaha Productions and how they do things,
right. I just think, you know, these are elite filmmakers, the NFL Films and whoever they partner with is the highest
and
level.
And I love the timing, July 8th.
You know, I watched that piece of trash that is it Hulu that puts it out or Netflix? What's it called? Behind the, you know, the one that put out the Brett Favre, that put out the Florida one, the Johnny Manziel
yeah.
one.
See, that's completely
what's the
different.
Name of that series?
Something unwatchable, it should be, but it's called Unsomething. Hold, please.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not.
It's apples and oranges.
It's not a filmmaker. Yeah. Well, they're trying to be that, but
well, they,
it's just like when HBO was doing the documentaries before everybody was doing sports docs.
Right.
You knew if it was an HBO.
Untold.
Yeah, Untold Stories, this whatever. So just not.
They had like a $35 budget to do Untold, and NFL Films and Omaha Productions is putting this
couldn't
on.
Agree more. And you want to know what kind of money they have. How about when they go in the middle of the year to a division? So you need four full crews at four last year. Full crew for the Bengals, for the Browns, for the Ravens
so
last
good.
Year, and the Steelers. That's not, I mean, You start to wonder what that must cost.
How about Hard Knocks being in Buffalo, y'all, to start this year? We're going to see training camp with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, if you didn't already love the Bills and Josh Allen.
And then they're doing the NFC East is the four. I can't wait. And I love the timing here. So you got all summer. It's going to lead you up to training camp with quarterback.
When is quarterback?
July 8th, a week and a half.
Okay. And I assume they'll release them all at once. You'll probably binge watch that thing.
I don't remember if they did.
I think they do. I don't think they
did. I don't know that they did because I remember husband and I were like, I can't wait. Maybe you're right. I don't
know.
No.
I think they give you the whole season. I'm pretty sure. It's not one of those serial, like you just got in that John Hamm series. What was that? Friends and Neighbors or something.
Your Friends and Neighbors.
But that only dropped once a week. Some of these shows do that.
Kind of like that.
All right, let's do the, what do we call this?
Nine at nine. Braves win, beat the Mets again, 4-0 against those New Yorkers. 3-2 is your final. Made it interesting late. Dylan Lee, our new closer. Spencer Schwellenbach, do your thing. 7 innings, a 4-hit ball. Gave up that 2-run shot to Juan Soto. But Dylan Lee was the story. He enters with runners on the corners and 2 outs. And boom, Yakimakis. All he does is get Juan Soto to strike out on a slider that was as filthy as I've ever seen. And he walks off the mound like he does it every single game. All of a sudden, the Mets have now lost 9 of 10.
Yeah, that's a particularly White Sox, Colorado-esque streak that they're on. I mean, 1-9 is hard for a team with that lineup and that. Think about the payroll. I'm not sure you should ever go 1-9 if you're the Mets. Good for the Braves. Braves have now beaten them this season 4 in a row. I really could have done another win in Florida. We would have had that streak going to winning consecutive series. That loss on Sunday really hurt. But listen, all you can do, we said we have 7 games against the Mets and Phillies. I think 5-2 is what we had to think about. Like, you know, this 4-3, 3-4, we're sitting where we are. And maybe this is a
great start.
You have 7
against the Mets and 3 against the Phillies coming up this weekend. So you've got 10. You've got 3 and then 4 with the Mets. And then you play the Phillies 3 at home.
Yeah, so that's I said, 10. There's 7 games. No, we've already won those 3. I meant the
I'm
7
sorry,
coming up.
I got you.
Yeah, we're 1-0 out of the 7 coming
that's
up.
That's why I said
but
this
we're
is
4-0 now if you want to go to the 10 games overall. So we're 4-0 in the 10 games against those guys.
Do you have that line in front of you for tonight's game? The reason I'm telling you is Spencer Strider is going against Frankie Montas. The last outing, he only lasted an inning and a third.
I'd say the Braves are probably minus 120 or so.
I mean, it's crazy baseball. You never know, but this one looks very one-sided.
The Braves are minus 139.
Okay, there you go. Atlanta Dream is at Dallas tonight. The Liberty is coming to Gateway Center on Friday. I want you to know that. And Atlanta United fans, look at your calendar if you were getting ready to travel to Miami on Saturday because that game is postponed. Why? Because at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that game, it'll be Messi once again in town. It'll be Paris Saint-Germain and Lionel Messi in Miami in the Club World Cup knockout round of 16. And that is on Sunday. It's going to be sick. I asked Mike Conti, I go, what are the tickets like right now? And he said around 200 to get in. But that's got to be a great hot ticket in our little sweet city. Isn't that great?
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun and it's a great setup. I know Bobby went the other night, even though it was a blowout, to the Sunday night game. That was, what was it, Manchester?
Manchester, oh yeah.
They won like 7-0, 6-0. Anyway, when
good
we
for him.
The mindset of an athlete, we talk about it and we come back. Kirk Cousins, Tyrese Halliburton, or the guy playing at the local Y, kind of all the same. We'll talk about it on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Number one sports talk radio station in the Southeast. Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden, thanks so much for spending your summer morning with us on a beautiful Tuesday in the great city of Atlanta. Big trade in the NBA. The Boston Celtics, who are way over the cap and realize they ran it back this year. They basically said, we're bringing everybody back to go back-to-back titles. That did not work out. Jason Tatum tears his Achilles, I believe, also. He's out for all of next year, and the Celtics are like, well, maybe we won't run it back. They have traded Drew Holiday, who helped them win a title, to the Portland Trailblazers. That happened this morning, and they get back Seems like the Celtics got a lot of value coming back because they have to dump salary right now. Anthony Simons averages 19.3 a game, shoots 9 3-pointers a game for the Blazers. Blazers very high in getting the defensive prowess of Olympian Drew Holiday. So Holiday leaves Boston with his big fat contract, heads to Portland where he will help the Blazers as they try to become a more defensive-minded team.
35 years old. Is that why? Just kind of start unloading that stuff?
They have to because they ran it back. They signed, you know, they brought Porzingis back. They brought Holiday back.
What are they going to do with Horford, who's a free agent? Right? You know, 39?
He's not that expensive. The question is, Al wants to keep playing. He's in phenomenal shape. But, you know, a lot of teams could use an Al Horford type, right? Just a great veteran, can play out of the five hole.
Maybe back here.
Yeah. Portland gets Holiday after trading him to Boston 2 years ago. And the trade essentially is Anthony Simons and 2 second-round picks for Drew Holiday of the Celtics. Expect Porzingis to probably go next. They'll go into next year playing a lot of young players, realizing they're probably not winning much without Jason Tatum, their best player. So that's a big trade in
the NBA.
That's
a big underachiever if we may just stay there a second. Weren't the Celtics just supposed to go on this run like unbeatable? And
well, they were. No, I mean,
this is a dynasty. This is going to be this group together. And
I mean, they won a title, Sandy. I mean, what do you want them to do? Like the Blazers, won. The Cavaliers won like 60 something games. And Oklahoma City.
No. I know the records. Literally, I'm looking at the standings.
Well,
do
you know who had the most wins in the NBA this year? That was Oklahoma City, who just won the title. So,
what a likable group.
So why
of kids.
Do you have to say a big underachievement?
No, I mean like, we're doing sports talk here. I'm right. Sure if we were doing sports talk in Boston, right. That's a severe we underachieved.
Well, thankfully,
and fire everybody.
Thankfully, we're doing it here. Thankfully, we're doing it.
We were at the
here.
Hawks. We were a 10 play-in, and we couldn't even do that. So, moving on.
Did you hear my rant about losing to Miami at home in that play-in?
You're right.
Who was just like, Miami was bad this year. I mean, they were bad. I don't know if you remember. Like, pre-Jimmy Butler, post-Jimmy Butler. Like, the fact that we couldn't even get past them coming in here, that really annoys me. And they got absolutely smoked by Cleveland. I mean, absolutely smoked by Cleveland. And we couldn't even win our home game. But anyway, don't get me irritated. Tyrese Halliburton, I guess he's saying, and you're like, not exactly earth-shattering news to say that a professional athlete that had just played in Game 6 and been fine would play in Game 7 and then says he doesn't regret playing through a calf strain that led him to tearing his right Achilles tendon. He said, I'd do it again and again after that to fight for this city and my brothers for the chance to do something special. He will miss all of next season, which, again, if you're the Pacers, not likely you'll contend for a title without your
best
player.
Can you imagine pregame, Shams R Us gets on and goes, I have some breaking news. Tyrese Halliburton has decided he's not going to play in Game 7.
Yeah, he's worried about
his calf is sore.
Yeah,
because he really gave it all in Game 6. Do you understand how stupid that narrative is? It's absolutely absurd.
What do you think the doctors, and Bo, I'll ask you that question as well, or Caleb, this is not one of those injuries where you say, hey, listen, you're not risking any more serious injury by playing on it. This is just an injury that's going to be tough to play through. When you have a strained calf, I would assume they tell you that you have a much better chance to tear your Achilles. I mean, they're absolutely connected in terms of why that injury happened.
Oh, yeah. Like, that is the whole thought process. This is where this injury is leading to. It's
right.
What's happened to Kevin Durant. It's what happened to Jason Tatum. I mean, there's been so many different players in the NBA. Jared McCain this season with the Sixers, a rookie, had the same exact thing happen to him. Like, this is happening over and over again.
But Tatum, it wasn't like this might happen. Tatum, Durant, you knew he was risking injury.
Yes.
Because he was playing on it. And Halliburton, if you have a calf that's in that condition, you are one step away from tearing it, right? Your Achilles.
Yeah, and I saw a doctor who was on CBS Sports talking about the fact that, like, since 2012, players now are running 200 more miles a season than they were before. So I think that is kind of the attrition of it all is kind of what's contributing to it. I think the tough decision is the fact that it was Game 7. If it was any other game, I think there's a pretty large chance that Tyrese Haliburton doesn't play because they think, okay, maybe we can get him some rest and that'll help a little bit.
Well, not Game 6. Had the same situation in Game 6. Maybe anything other than an elimination game.
Yeah.
He's not missing.
And I can argue that athletes and let me tell you, Stakes, you're going to play pickleball on Sunday morning with your buddies, and you've got something weird with your elbow.
Right.
And somebody looks at you and go, you know what? If you keep doing that, you're going to break that thing or snap it. You're going to have a bad strain. You're not playing. That's how y'all think.
Yeah,
that's
I get lectured by my family all the time.
Kirk Cousins and his shoulder.
Why do you keep playing
I know.
On a bad elbow? And I was like, well, because I like to play, and I need to stay in shape, and it's good for my head. It's like, okay, and that's when they hear from my girls, we have no sympathy for you, Daddy. So don't come limping in here.
I just
after.
Think it's more it's how y'all are of well. So yeah, you're telling me there's a chance,
but we're not playing through the stuff that these guys are playing through. Like Tyrese Haliburton has got an injury that in the regular season he would have sat a month, right? Like he would have sat till that thing was healed because you don't want to risk.
Because he can.
Yeah, because he can.
Because he can.
And because you don't want to risk what just happened, which is now you're out for the year. But listen, he played Game 6. Right.
So Game 5 was when he only had 4 points and they took him out.
Yes.
So then he came back Game 6 and you're like, he's good to go.
And he says, I feel better in 7 than I did in 6. Listen, it's the argument I had with Mike Bell about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins said it when they had the scrum after practice. I feel like I'm injured a lot as a quarterback and I felt I could win given even my limitations. Maybe I can't throw it 45 yards downfield. I can throw it 20. Maybe I can't move that much. I'll get rid of the ball faster. I've played under duress before. I'm going to play. That's what it's like. The anger for Kirk Cousins is just like he doesn't want to lose his job, and he's not going to get it back. You know, it's like he said, I needed the offseason to get healthy. So, you know, the job is when your quarterback's throwing nine interceptions and no touchdowns in 4 games – for somebody to step in. He never should have started the Raider game in Vegas that eventually was the end of it, right? That was that horrific Monday night affair. But, you know, that's what athletes are going to do. Be dumb, play through it. I'm not saying Haliburton was dumb. I love now where they're saying you may never be the same because of your Achilles tear. I'm sure there's a doctor listening that can tell you, these are professional athletes, rehab, this isn't...
He also never would have been the same to get that nice ring on his finger
exactly
and
right.
walk away from it. I just find this absurd. It is apples and oranges and athletes playing, or even LeBron not playing for a couple of games, taking himself out during the regular season. If something was on the line, LeBron James is playing. Your stars are playing, your athletes, even men at the JCC, you know how you are. You guys know what's up.
Yeah, talk about warriors,
right?
Fierce competitors. Now we're comparing pickleball of the J to the great Tyrese Haliburton.
But it's the same.
No,
it's the penis mentality. If men, they y'all are different. Like, and I shouldn't say all women because the women athletes as well.
Tough.
I'm sure, but I guarantee you guys, it doesn't matter what level. It's just
you don't want to be soft. You want to play through. The last thing you want to do when you're playing doubles or playing pickle. Or playing softball, whatever, is be like, no, I'm good, man. No, I'm good. It's like, dude.
Plus, I think it brings you joy, doesn't it?
Well, that's why you do it.
Yeah, you're loving life.
You look forward to it all week.
Yeah.
But my point about Kirk Cousins is, you know, it's wasted energy, man. It's like he said it. I have played injured plenty of times and won games. I'm never totally healthy. Now he's saying, I was a 3. I said I was a 5. I said I was a 4. I was a 3. And now people are angry with him.
I would like to tell Kirk that we should watch Dead Poets Society together. And you're going to hear, I believe it was, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Yeah, that's Good Will Hunting.
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
It's not your
Same
fault.
Actor, Robin Williams.
It's not your fault.
But wrong movie. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Whose fault is it then?
Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and anybody else who was on that coaching staff who had two eyes.
Yeah, Zach Robinson.
That is
no. It's Zach Robinson.
It's not your fault.
And Raheem Morris.
Not your fault.
Terry Fontenot doesn't bench a player. It's the coaching staff that has to say, does Michael Penix Jr. give us the best chance to win in Denver, in Minnesota, in New Orleans, at home against San Diego, any of those games?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not benching him against New Orleans. They're 6-3 going in. I was at the game. I've never walked around the Superdome more confident in Saints fans' faces saying, oh, y'all came here to get your ass kicked today.
Yeah.
You came to get your ass kicked because you've lost like 7 in a row and we're 6-3. And then I'm down there on Bourbon Street after going, huh, that didn't work out so good. 9:35 the time when we come back. Is it time to just say everybody's doing it? Let these college athletes do it as well. Who are we kidding? Tailgate coming up, Sports Radio 92.9. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. What do y'all got going on a summer day in Atlanta, Tuesday? Folks, I don't know.
A cold plunge is a good idea.
It's going to be super
warm
today.
Hot.
You want to get a good sweat, today's the day to do it, man. It's going to be steamy.
Just careful with your puppies, y'all. They did. I heard Steak talking about Rocco on this pavement.
Yeah,
I
almost didn't have a dog.
No. In the there was just something that Atlanta Humane Society put out that I retweeted that says
whatever
dangerous.
I did was wrong.
Yeah.
3 mile walk of Rocco in 95-degree heat for a rot that's black. And I said, he loves it. He loves it. My wife's like, his tongue is on the sidewalk and he's just lying there. I was like, no, dude, he loves it.
Oh,
sorry.
Man.
No, she was right. It was too much.
And the paws, you understand their little skin, they become raw and burn. It's like third-degree burns. But good dad. Good job. Here's a treat.
So, dog owner of the year, I'm not going to be winning that title. I wanted to get him. It is hot.
It's hot.
It's the golf course. Be careful with those transfusions today because those are going to taste like Gatorade because, you know, when there's alcohol in it, those aren't the drinks to quench your thirst and like chug them. Let me just say that because we're going through a heat wave. Northeast having the same thing. Speaking of the Northeast, the Braves, I mean, it was a nice dub for sure, right?
You kidding me? First of all, 90 seconds in, Ronald Acuna, first pitch, base hit, steal second, 90 seconds into the thing. Then he got caught up. A base running error, in my opinion. Shouldn't have got thrown out. Well, shouldn't have ran. He should have committed to just going. Probably wouldn't have got him.
Ron Acuna hitting .396 and just tearing it up.
So, voting, you guys, and I put the link on Twitter, at SportsSandra. You can go through the first voting for the All-Stars. He's currently fourth.
Yeah,
they're going to call it, I believe, on Thursday. So you got a couple more days. So once you vote the first time, and you can only vote, if you just want to vote for Ronald, not fool the rest of it, you then just hit repeat, and you can do it 5 times a day. So Braves country, can we get behind him, please?
So
also, how do you feel about the booing? Because I was thinking about this. He is the new Chipper Jones. He is the Trey Young when it comes to the Big Apple hate. And it's such a badge of honor. He's going around with his home run, flapping, and everybody's booing him, shooting in the birds.
No, it's awesome.
So great.
He should be the belle of the ball for the All-Star game. He should be up front and center at he's not in the home run derby. We don't want him in there. But, like, just a front and center with – and we're not going to have – is he – he's in it?
He said he wants to do it if he's asked.
Yeah, he's not in it, but we do want him in there.
Yeah, I agree.
We do want him. I don't know. I just worry that.
Or maybe Austin Riley would be a good one.
They haven't announced who's in it yet.
No.
The Derby.
And he always.
You got to have the Atlanta guys.
They're going to ask him 100%.
Somebody's got to be in it. Come on.
Please.
Yeah, you got to have an Atlanta. How about Olsen with his swing, right?
Olsen's got more of a longer swing. I just don't see him.
Ozuna was in it.
Yeah, he wore himself down.
Yeah. So
I think Riley's got a nice compact swing that would do well in a home run derby.
My point is Ronald will be like front and center rooting his guy on. He needs to be, again, the lead dog at the All-Star game. He's the best player in Atlanta. He's a top three player in majors. He's come back on fire. He's the reason even we're still treading water, right? Where the hell would we be with this lineup without him over the last couple
Ronald
weeks?
Well, what Ronald Acuna should do today, what's your favorite pizza spot in New York City?
Favorite pizza industry, pizza.
Industry. Ronald Acuna, today, call your buddy, but give him another 30 minutes. Ozzie Albies. This is your buddy, best buddy, Ronald. And I'm going to take you to industry for a nice pizza today in New York, and we're going to talk about life. And we're going to forget everything you've ever known about hitting in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And we're going to get it together. We are going to change everything.
John's on Bleecker.
John's on Bleecker.
For Dave Portnoy, I think that's his number one. John's on Bleecker or Joe's Pizza. Any of those would be fine. But John's on Bleecker is the most famous. Take Ozuna there. Looks like a guy would enjoy a few slices and just kind of get, that's your slump buster.
This is your good pizza. Go have a nice time with
your
buddy.
Do you have any idea where they stay when they play the Mets? That shouldn't be hard to figure out. And is it a different hotel when you play the Yankees, right? So, like the NBA, they all stay at the Four Seasons in Midtown. Like you'll see them coming down.
So it's contracted. So it's likely if it's Four Seasons here, the Four Seasons might have the deal.
Usually there's two or three hotels that are sanctioned by Major League or NBA or whatever it is. And I just wonder, the days of ballplayers going out after games together and all that, even in Manhattan, are not likely. And that's not Ronald's thing. But man, oh man, he has got to be, it's got to be this, the celebration of Acuna at our All-Star game. It just has to be. When you see what he's done. Listen, the Mets have lost 9 out of 10. Like, the Mets' payroll is astronomical. The Mets have set themselves up that they're not supposed to be in a 1-9 scenario. They haven't beaten the Braves, right? They're 0-4 this year against
the
Braves. We haven't played them. So now we got Spencer Strider going. God bless. But this is must-see TV tonight again to see the Braves try to keep things cooking. And you're right, there's a lot of struggle.
It is tough to watch Michael Harris and Ozzy and a couple of at-bats last night for our catcher.
Yeah, Ozzy. I think Ozzy was a bases loaded, nobody out or one out, and a weak pop to shortstop, which was just painful.
Michael Harris did hit it right at the first baseman, but, I mean, otherwise that was – it's just tough, you guys. That bottom of the order is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is
– Matt Olson in the two spot, yes, please. That seems to be going well.
This is an offensive issue for the Braves for sure. Night in and night out, there's nothing wrong with our pitching even a little bit. We don't have the guys. And Jerkson Profar, I didn't think he would mean as much, but boy, is he going to be important coming back here.
In 1 week, he's able to go next Wednesday, the 2nd.
Ozzy's down to 220 and 626 OPS. That is not getting it done. Michael Harris, OPS, is 578. He is hitting 221. So if you want to know where their issues are, you don't have to look much farther than that. And obviously, Ozuna's been struggling as well, as they have lost 9 of 10, the Mets. And we have a chance to pounce on it. But we need a night, man, right? What happened to the Knights? We're like, okay, Albies homered, Austin homered, Olsen homered. Verdugo had a little pop, who hasn't had a home run all year. How about being in 182 at-bats this year? You play 51 games, and Alex Verdugo doesn't have one. In this current climate of the majors, Alex Verdugo doesn't have one home run all year. 13 RBIs. Is that how many? Yeah. He's got 12 RBIs, no home runs so far this year. So that's just, you see it with Nick Allen. You see it with Eli Wade.
Murphy. Did you feel like we're going to lose this game? I mean, you
absolutely.
But, so when he gives up the two-run shot to Juan Soto at the bottom of the sixth, we're now 1-for-9 when that happens with runners in scoring position. So I just think we love so much there, and I thought, here we go.
Well, especially because you jump on top 3-0, and you're like, this is going to be one of those nights. We're just going to keep adding.
Well, they didn't score from the third on.
I know.
I mean, it's
you didn't
just
add anything
absurd
to the mix. You got the same guys struggling in big at bats. You got the same frustration with Sean Murphy and Ozzy, and just realizing this is an offensive malaise. We're a mediocre offensive team with good pitching. We've had a couple of bad losing streaks, and until we can put together a 12-2, right, then we are just not a real team. And losing Chris Sale, beyond devastating. He was the most dominant pitcher in baseball. I'm sorry. Watch his last 5 or 6 starts. Absolute Cy Young, dominant. Unhittable,
He's on the trip, which I thought was interesting, and they said something about a
listen, you're not going to mess
up. Machine or whatever they got. I was like, what is that?
Well, I mean, listen, they have the technology that a cracked rib for us and a cracked rib for him is night and day in terms of how much faster he can come back. But you got to be super careful. I have not.
No?
I have not.
No. Yeah.
I cracked someone's rib. I gave him the Heimlich. I gave him the, you know, our friend Katie in sales here.
Mm-hmm.
We were at Canoe one night and we were in the middle of a sales pitch. Actually, she was working for us over at Atlanta Eats. Before she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm going to go work for a real company. Anyway, so then she came over here. But she started, we were in a sales pitch, and she's just like stopped talking in the middle of it. And I was like, girlfriend, like, you know, you got to keep the momentum here. And she started pointing like, no, I can't breathe.
Oh, my gosh.
So I turned her around, and I gave her the Heimlich, right? And it was great because
you're welcome, everybody, for me not taking that and going with it. See how I just quieted,
so,
I edited myself. You're welcome.
But then I cracked her ribs in the process.
But you saved her life.
I mean, not all heroes.
Wow.
Not all heroes wear capes.
This, ladies and gentlemen, the Heimlich by State. You should do a YouTube video on that.
Not all heroes eat bagels, but this this one does. This one does.
College football fans. 60 days from today is the very first college football weekend games, et cetera. So there you go. Get your head right. Let's go. It's go time. Anything?
Well, I was looking at me and my wife. It's funny. Sunday night, we're going through our entire fall schedule between our daughter, you know, dancing with
you. How does that work? Does she say, I need an appointment with you? We're shutting off phones. We're going to sit. Where do you sit in the house?
So we're watching the Game 7 NBA Finals.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is more passive viewing, especially that series.
Especially for
especially
for Kimberly.
Indian.
She's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
How passive can you get? Like, yeah. About a passive. So, and we're just going week by week. And then we got our daughter dancing for the Shockwave, which is the Tulane dance team. So she'll be on the field in New Orleans. And then Sophie's like, why are you booking all this stuff in New Orleans? I'm right up the street at Georgia. Well, Sophie, I want to talk to you about economics. See, Tulane Northwestern, not a difficult ticket. Georgia, Texas, Daddy has to pull Bobby out of private school. Like, you know, all tickets are not created equally.
That is so true.
So, like, we're going to Tulane Northwestern first weekend of the year and then watch all those games probably in the French Quarter on Saturday. We just targeted the Ole Miss Georgia game. We got, another weekend in New Orleans. I think Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to Louisiana. But Thursday night, there's a Tulane game at home. Thursday night, East Carolina. And then, That weekend, there's a game after Thanksgiving in Lafayette. We just picked a Georgia game early in the year that we can get tickets to week two. Then we're looking to travel maybe to Oxford or the Ole Miss game in Athens, but Tulane plays at Oxford. So we're scheduling our whole season.
You're getting to feel now like college football in the South.
Yeah, we are all about it.
Good for you guys. All right, well, I thought this was big headlines. Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, telling us something I did not realize, that this week – the NCAA Council is going to be voting on, wait for it, if college athletes, coaches, administrative, everybody in the athletic building can bet on pro sports.
Yeah.
There's the line in the sand.
Well, I mean, it's legalized gambling in all these cities. And as much as you want to, you know, keep the, what do they say, the genie in the bottle or do whatever it is and just not let it get out. The reality is that sports app have never been more prevalent. Every one of these sports networks is being paid for with the advertising for everybody from FanDuel to ESPN Bet, whatever it is. You're inundated with it, and everybody else in society has free reign. Now you're trying to police college athletes and administrators to say you can't bet on any of these apps, which are legal. So it's almost like marijuana and the NBA. Do we really want to keep fighting that fight? Or do we want to just say, listen, do not touch college sports. You will be suspended, thrown out. You won't ever play college. But we understand that other sports, you're going to be. I mean, listen, it takes you one step closer to betting on college because now your app is up. Mm-hmm. And now you see a full slate of Saturday games. You're sitting in your hotel room. You have an 8:30 game on a Saturday night. You're watching games all day. Your app's already live. So makes you more likely to bet college. But the question is, can they really continue to police not having
and
them.
And do they even want to, like you just said?
No, I mean, they want to.
I don't know that they want to. In April, they voted 21-1 to move this thing forward.
And what do you mean they? Who's they?
This council I'm talking about, the NCAA Pro Council, and they're saying—
To vote on it.
It's 21-1. Let's kick the can down the road and figure out where we land. At the very worst case scenario is the penalties, which they've already reduced. It used to be kind of like line in the sand, it's over, and now they've kind of dialed it way back.
For betting on other sports, not for betting on college, and not for betting on your own team.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, betting on the pro level sports.
Right now you still can't do it, but I think they would love to not have to let kids bet. I think they would absolutely love it. I think it's not realistic, right? Like, you're going to have to deal with it, you know? Especially kids. I mean, think about what you're trying to do. Tell every single kid playing college sports you can't gamble when that is just now accepted in society, right?
Not only those kids, but there's 7th and 8th graders. I'm talking to my friends at those, and it's little boys, by the way. And I say little boys, a 7th grader to me is a little boy. They have access to those apps, and they are betting with no problem.
Well, the question is, where's that money coming from? And does mom and dad know it's happening? Can you teach responsible sports gambling? It is a slippery slope, man. The dopamine and the, you know, but I mean, all this stuff on your phone is dopamine driven for young people, right? Is it that much different? There's nothing positive about having kids sports gamble at that age. I mean, it may be fun to do it together, and it may be fun enough. It's not going to be like a healthy thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. You can't really control
it. There's also a mental end of this, exactly what you're talking about, to treat this more of an addiction side of your mental illness, because that's exactly what it is with the dopamine. And they're having to have these courses set up in to help because of all the apps. So I don't know. I agree with you.
It's absolutely prevalent beyond Bobby and his buddies. If they don't have apps, they're talking about it every day. They understand these guys' money line is 130. They're getting 8 points. They understand that terminology.
Do you think if Bobby was on the app betting money, you would know it?
Yeah, I would know it. I know what's on his phone. Listen, when we did Underdog, I told him to pick some games for Underdog on the sports app. So not only am I a great pet owner, I'm a great dad.
Good for you.
And you're learning all the great things. Hey, top of the hour, 10 o'clock. Sandra texting me last night about something I said yesterday on the show.
I almost rolled off. Bo is a young stud. We're still bringing him up in the business. He should have called you out so large. And I was like, you are so
Bo
full
Morgan.
Of it. Bo Morgan.
Are you going to tell us what we're talking about?
Well.
When we come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're late here. We got to go. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 10:02 on Sports Radio.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
The 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Sandy Golden, back from Panama City. How's the beaches looking down there? Everybody loving Panama City these days, right? A lot happening.
I don't even want to say it because I don't want it to happen like 30A. You can't even get down to 30A anymore. But Panama City has been the best it's ever been economically.
They're building and housing, and prices and folks are moving.
Well, they ran out of beach. Right. So, and that's why it's Panama City, it's Mexico Beach, it's Apalachicola, Cape San Blas, St. George, all the way to Tallahassee. So, good.
All good for the economy.
Yeah. Brand new Top Golf coming right there where Pier Park is. If you guys are at 30A, it's such a 20-minute drive if you want to go Top Golf.
No, Pier Park, very well. Been there many times. When you stay down there at Inlet Beach, you head down to Pier Park. Well, it's good to see you.
I'm headed north
next week, July 4th.
It's your birthday.
Is it my birthday?
July 8th?
July 9th 7th? Is my birthday.
Okay, there you go.
But I'm going home for July 4th. Wonderful. My buddy always has this big New England July 4th party, great part of the country to be, which is in Boston on July 4th, the celebration of our nation and, good taste of some chowder, get some fried clam, get some lobster. I'm going to go down to Chicopee or down to the Cape and grab get my Dunkin' Donuts and my Sox cap. Everybody in New England, it's like a friggin' uniform. It's like, picture your private school where you had to have a uniform. When you are in Cape Cod in the summer, everybody has a Dunkin' iced coffee and a Red Sox hat. Like, it is the absolute uni.
That's
like,
great.
And it used to be back in the day, like, you'd walk down the beach and everybody would have the game on the radio, you know, when it doesn't seem like it's quite. So if you want to know a score, you just walk towel to towel because everybody had the Sox game on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Just part of the energy around, you know, a New England summer. So I'm looking forward to doing that for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, so let me pivot there and just say I was listening to you and Bo yesterday on the
Morgan.
Show. Bo Morgan, who filled in, did a great job. And you were bringing up some topics like if the you were talking about the NBA Finals and who you're rooting for.
The fan you are from age 6 or 7 to 15.
There you go.
Is the fan you are for life.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the formative sports years.
Yeah, and then you said. With a straight face, I'm guessing that if the Celtics and the Hawks were playing in an NBA Finals.
Or Eastern Final, right?
Eastern Finals. You're absolutely rooting for the Hawks. And I almost drove off the road because I'm going to call you out. Bo didn't. And I think you wouldn't. And I'm not even being mad at you for it. I think the way Atlanta is made up, it's such a potpourri of everybody and their fandom and where they're coming from. The authentic answer is everybody knows you're loyal to New England.
No. Come on now.
And you're
Come on now.
Why are you?
You know who my best friend is, you know?
Yeah.
Salsa.
Uh-huh.
And you know how many I've been to hundreds and hundreds of Hawks games, more Hawks
games. I think you're a massive Hawks fan.
Yes.
That is very different from if there's an Eastern Finals. And that, let's say it's a game seven and the Hawks and the Celtics are playing.
Celtics have won 18 titles.
You are 100%.
Come on now. I don't know.
Why
man.
Are you even like, I think
because
you should just be real with the listener.
Because we've won 18 titles and what it would do for Atlanta, we're the flagship, mm-hmm. we're a city that's never gotten that far. Like, it would mean way more to Atlanta. Now, I don't know the core at my core, what that's going to look like to root against. Thankfully, I don't really have to do that. Plenty of times root against the Celtics against Atlanta. But
okay, what about the Patriots and the Falcons in that Super Bowl?
I hated it. I know you did, but I think
we're listening, people listening in the car, 404-726-0929. The largest Steeler contingency, the Chiefs Nation fans that I know very, very well. If the Chiefs are playing the Falcons, they're very diehard fans. They're rooting for the Chiefs. If the Steelers are playing the Falcons, they're rooting
Listen,
for the Steelers.
I agree with that to a degree because I also think the Falcons haven't done enough to convert those transplants who have been here 30, 40 years. I just think there's a lot of factors. You don't think that there's a ton of Yankee, Met, Red Sox, Philly fans that have been here and the Braves are now their team because the Braves have been so good for so long and that their kids are Braves fans and that it's easy to be a Braves fan. Do you think there's more transplants that have switched allegiances for the Braves than the other two teams, given what the Braves are? Or you think it's all the same?
I think they pull for the Braves, and it's great when they win. I think if they grew up a diehard Red Sox fan.
Cub, Red Sox.
Yankees, whatever it is. I have very good friends, the Bennetts up in New Yorkers. They are Yankee fans diehard. They will go cheer for the Yankees at the Braves games. Because that's at the core of who they are. I love Georgia football. I love Kirby. I love Brent Key at Georgia Tech. Pulling for them 100%. If Florida State is playing either one of those, step away from the desk.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. And I think that
and you have a relationship with Kirby and all these guys.
Pull
for
everybody until you're playing with Knowles. I heard Bo say yesterday, I am an objective fan. If LSU, if Georgia's playing or Georgia Tech, I think Bo is like, it's better for us. We enjoy them. We know them. But if LSU is playing, there is no way you're cheering for the other team.
Oh, and I didn't say I wasn't gonna, I don't root for the Saints, but I talk objectively about the Falcons.
Right.
And Georgia. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but her point is nothing ever could make you root against LSU. Or the Saints, right?
That's
growing
right.
Growing up.
But why are we ashamed to say it? Like, I don't want you to think that you're wearing some scarlet letter because everybody knows you. Like, and John Kincaid, our good buddy, he was a diehard Philly fan, and he was through and through.
I don't think listeners want to listen to some guy that's been on Sports Talk for 30 years that they think is rooting against their team. So that maybe it's part of just I maybe deep down at its core – it would be what you're saying is accurate. But what I'm trying to say is I've been here long enough. I've owned sports stations. I'm on the flagship. I have close friends. I don't have close friends on any of those other teams in Boston. I have close friends, and I know what it would mean to Atlanta. So you're still not buying it?
Not even close. I feel like two things can be true, but if push came to shove and we were, let's just say we're even down at State Farm Arena and the Hawks are hosting.
I have no problem rooting the Hawks over the Celtics at State Farm. Your question was a game seven of like an Eastern final, right? Because regular season games, like, you know, who really cares? Or, you know, everything's on the line type stuff.
Right.
Like, you know. There are certain markets where sports is embedded in the culture of every, like Kansas City. It is embedded in everything about Pittsburgh and Kansas City and Boston. Like, all these college kids that end up there now. Yeah. Like, they come home after 4 years, and they're Red Sox fans. Now, whether or not they're Braves fans, too, or more, that may be the case. There's certain areas of the country that is the culture. And especially if you're a kid, when you're watching every single game and every single night, it's almost – I'm not even kidding. It's almost in your blood, right?
You're that not you kidding.
You can't get away like you want. These people that dump their original teams because they're bad, that's the ultimate. You want to dump your team because
I don't believe them either. I don't believe him.
I think it's just a weak-ass way to say, I've given up on
exactly.
Cleveland. Come on, you haven't given up on. Like, and you're going to start rooting again when they get good? The beauty of rooting for a bad franchise like the Lions or the Saints or the, insert the Cubs, is that when it finally happens and you've been and suffered, like the Braves fans who suffered and suffered and suffered, and then you're like, I was there with Gene Garber. I was there with Bob Horner. I was there with, Stiff, Zane Smith, Phil Negro.
I was there when Jeff Blauser was smoking a cigarette in the tunnel.
Yeah. 404-726-0929.
The Braves are different because I grew up a Braves fan because my daddy was watching them every single night.
You didn't have a team.
So we didn't.
You didn't have a team.
So that's why most of the country, though, steak was, it was so accessible. I mean, we grew up on the Braves.
The excitement level that Pittsburgh fans have when the Steelers are coming to town.
And Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I don't know who we'd say are the top. If I had to say biggest impact.
Dallas.
Yeah, I think there's more Steeler fans here than Cowboy fans. I think Steelers are right at the top. I think Green Bay's a smaller community. It's hard with them. Maybe you're right about the Cowboys. A lot of folks grew up here and just, like, Cowboys were too sexy. Summerall. And Madden, every 405 start on CBS growing up. I don't know what you guys think. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. And it's part of it because the Braves have that success. Like, it's hard to – it would be almost impossible. Maybe the Michael Vick era could have done it, right? But if you're a Pittsburgh Steeler, New York Giant, let's say – Baltimore Ravens have unbelievable fans now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, Washington Redskins / Commanders, Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, trying to convert them to say Falcons are number one. I don't think the Braves conversion has been as hard. I just think, the summers are long. The tickets are accessible. The kiddos are on it, and there's so much success.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's so much payoff with the Braves. It's like, it's what I always talk about. Give them something back when they fill the building. Like that awful loss last year with the Steelers, how Arthur Smith comes back
here. The year.
Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
George Pickens.
And all the terrible towels are out and you still lose that game.
And they
game.
Didn't score a touchdown.
Right. You have four field goals. Like that would make me crazy as a marketer for the Falcons. Like, dude, we filled the building with 72,000. They had to listen to Steeler fans. And we went home, and we blew our opener. I just think there's a lot to payoff, and the Braves have given you more payoff. Mark, the PI on Sports Radio, 92.9. What are we working on today? Who's faking an injury today?
I'm up here on Northside Drive, Stakey. I've already gotten my video about an hour and a half ago, so I think he's taking it in for the day.
So what is he claiming?
He's claiming a right shoulder injury.
And
I got video of him swimming.
Swimming, okay. Yeah, nothing like just turning your, like, using your shoulder. You got him swimming. Was he at a public pool? You actually got him in his backyard.
I'm actually sitting in an apartment complex up off of Northside Drive, and I seen him come out of his apartment. I just walked down there, sat there, and just got my video camera out and videotaped him swimming.
So you're not even in a car or anything? You're not trying to be incognito?
No, just... I got out of my car and walked down there and was just sitting there by the pool.
Oh, that poor guy.
Of course, I'm all tattooed up, back to blue and Blue Lives Matter, so they think I'm a cop. And I'm just sitting there videotaping the guy while he's swimming. I'm sitting there right there at the pool with him.
That poor guy. That poor guy's in trouble.
Call us when you're, I really want you to call us, Mark, when you got like a guy or a gal cheating. So you're doing that cheaters video. And you're jumping
you don't
into
do,
a van.
Do you still do that work, or you just do work comp?
But I work for a company out of Chicago, and then I have my own companies also. So I do some cheating spouses, but I try to limit it because emotions get high on it.
Yeah, it's good to know you're still working on the cheating stuff. Hey, what were you gonna say about our topic?
I'm a diehard Steeler fan and diehard Ohio State Buckeye fan, but since I live here in Georgia, I root for the Falcons when the Steelers aren't playing them, and then I root for the Bulldogs when Ohio State's not playing them. But Steeler fans are everywhere. Yeah. I mean, we're you know, like you said, I was at the game where we won by the field goals, and the Terrible Towels are crazy.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's community's absolutely huge here. Buffalo pretty friggin' good as well. Hey, appreciate the call.
Y'all are awesome. Thank y'all you. Are awesome. Keep
I
up
could,
the good work.
I could not agree with you more.
Get those cheaters, Mark. Get them.
10:15, the time. Take some more calls. 404-726-0929. When we come back, we...
might have a halftime show at Super Bowl, y'all. I want to see what you think. And our girl, Maria Taylor, does it again.
Talk about
a
damn
big
good dog.
Job.
Damn
yeah.
good dog. 10:16 on Sports Radio 929. Oh, all those transplants running around the ATL talking about today, rooting for the other teams. I got to hear that same nonsense. 30 years I've been on the radio. There was a, I don't even know, 4 o'clock game against the San Diego Padres. And one of these national TV networks is showing that Turner Field had like 15,000 empty seats and Braves fans don't even show up for playoff games. Like, okay, dude, it's the first round. It's a 4 o'clock game. We'll put 50,000 in a game against the Mets on a summer night. You're asking people in the middle of October with kids in school and a Padres. We've won 10 straight division titles. I mean, I love the narrative that used to be about the sports fans in this town, right? We're trying to gauge the atmosphere of, you know, the Georgia Dome / Mercedes-Benz. Mm-hmm. I think we were 26th best fan base. And it was not good that when we saw recently that ranked the home atmosphere for crowd noise or whatever. Listen, I got news for you. Yes, if you grow up in Buffalo and you've been going to see the Bills for 50 years, it's different than if you have a population that 80% are transplants. So, like, think about the marketing initiative of building passion with people that never leave, like St. Louis, where I owned a business, and those people are the most provincial. What high school you go to? Okay, that's really cool. There's no business. There's no economy. They're losing teams. There are no transplants. Why are there no transplants in St. Louis? Because nobody moves there. There's no industry. So, yeah, I promise you that the St. Louis Blues fans have probably been there. It's easier to – meanwhile, the Rams couldn't take – right? At the end of the day, my point is just do the marketing study or the business study of, is it easier to have a great home field and loyal fans for people that have lived there for 15, 20 years or for people that are 3 generations? So you have an uphill battle in Atlanta. You have all these folks from elsewhere. But when Michael Vick shows up or when Matt Ryan is playing, you know, meaningful games or when the Braves, I don't know, anybody go to that World Series atmosphere a few years ago? Ever go to any of the playoff games who do we knock out
the
in
2012
the Dodgers?
We playoff run for
we
the
beat
Falcons.
The Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
In the NLCS,
mm-hmm.
The famous, was it the 8th inning? Tyler Matzik,
shut
bases
him down.
Loaded.
Yep.
Was that a quiet? My daughter said we've been going to games for 20 years. That World Series, it was a rainy night. I believe it was game two of the series against Houston, was the loudest building that she'd ever been in, right? So save me the tired narrative. You know where there is a history of tradition and multi-generational? Georgia, which is why they expanded to 93,000 and more, and why they sell out every Georgia game and they're impossible for tickets. So it's not apples to apples, as Sandra likes to say. And it, I don't know if any natives I want to talk about that, or transplants that have converted, or folks that say, I don't know. It's not really fun if you live in a city and say, I don't root for any of the teams. I've never liked that, right? You know what I enjoyed when I was in New Orleans for 4 years of college? Watching Bobby Hebert and Jim Moore and Dalton Hilliard and Ricky Jackson and Sam Mills. And like, you know, that's what we did at 12 noon on Sundays when we went to college in New Orleans. We'd go to Saints games or watch the Saints games. Yeah. It's part of being in a community. So
2012 was special for the Falcons fans, where you just walk into a Publix and it's Rise Up. And that playoff run, we beat Seattle and Green Bay. It was sick.
Yeah,
it was sick. That was special. And guess what? You couldn't really walk in and get a ticket for $25. Tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you have sustained exciting football, if you have the most exciting player in the league in Mike Vick, if you're playing in meaningful games like the Braves have always done, whether they're at Turner Field or Fulton County, they're always done. That's stupid. Since the 90s, then it becomes that's how you build Braves country. TBS don't hurt. No teams in the South, you know, many Southeast, that didn't hurt either. 404-726-0929 if you want to talk about that. That's part of what we're throwing out there this morning as you're driving around Atlanta. I also think we have, tell us if we have any calls. Otherwise, let's just get to Belly Up for sure.
Game 7 of the NBA Finals drew 16.35 million viewers. It makes it the most watched NBA Finals game in 6 years. However,
however,
overall, it averaged only 10.2 million, which was the least watched NBA Finals since 2007. Okay.
Wow.
Small market.
That's a long time back. Yeah, but 18 years is a long time back. Yeah, I mean, listen, even the best player there, SGA, he's just a low-key dude. You know, he hasn't really emerged in the same LeBron, Steph, Michael category.
What a likable guy. Kevin Miles Durant. Turner, Indiana, Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, it was.
Listen, people don't grow up Oklahoma City and Pacer fans. They grow up Knicks fans, Celtic fans, Laker fans, Bull fans.
Yeah.
That's where they grow up, and that's where they watch their teams. And by the way, that wasn't a very good game. Once Tyrese goes down, they hung around, but third and fourth quarter was not just, it just wasn't a great game.
Gilbert Arenas was on with Dan Patrick yesterday.
10 years from now, we'll remember these NBA finals for what?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. We won't. No, let's just be honest. When it comes to small market teams, we really don't remember much about them. We don't really talk about the Toronto championship. We don't really talk about the Bucks Giannis championship. And with this one, I mean, the only memorable thing was Halle game winner game one. Other than that, there was nothing in this finals that makes you say, oh my God, this was the great finals.
I will say this, to his point. And I don't like hearing that because I'm a huge NBA fan. But people would not even remember that the Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. Before the Atlanta Hawks, by the way. We've never been to a final, right?
He brought them up.
I know. He said it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Pascal Siakam and Kawhi, and nobody would think about it. Do you think about the Kyrie shot over Steph Curry in Golden State? And the comeback for Cleveland all the friggin' time. And that was before the Toronto won it. And I really don't even know the Bucks. I call myself a sports talk radio host. I'm trying to remember who they beat in the West that year. All right?
Caleb, look that up.
Caleb, you shouldn't have to look that up. Who'd the Bucks beat in the NBA Finals when Giannis won it? There's a delay, and that's supposed to be it's our NBA guy. So I don't like. I'm honestly having a hard time. That's how inconsequential. I mean, I know the players.
Yeah,
I know Middleton, and I know Lopez, and I know Jrue Holiday, and all that.
Phoenix Suns. You know how big of a fall from grace Phoenix been?
Was that 4-2?
Yeah, it was 4-2.
Okay. That's really bad, and I'm an NBA fan, but I think that's why he has a really good point.
I think that's most people, though, that they're not going to remember that. Now, what I did happen but to they, think they, and chew on
But they're, is, not a jur- they're not a journalist.
Journalists! We should know that. I did think about our friends down the street here with the Hawks having to watch the Pacers. And I mean, y'all,
how about Hawks fans just having to sit there and watch Indiana, who now is not going to be good next year for a title because they lost their best player. Celtics, by the way, if you hadn't heard, traded Jrue Holiday this morning for Anthony Simon. Celtics aren't going to be, you know, a factor. The Heat aren't going to be a factor. We certainly look at the Knicks and go, they'll be good. But, I mean, I don't know. Feels like it's wide open for the Hawks to do something this year. We'll see.
Right. Congratulations to Maria Taylor, University of Georgia's own Maria Taylor. Used to work with her at CSS when she hosted the Bulldog Report. She is fabulous on every level. She's a terrific mom. She's so good on TV. She just signed a massive contract extension with NBC and has been named the studio host for the NBA and the WNBA coverage on NBC and Peacock going forward. She's going to be on that desk with Carmelo Anthony and Vince Carter.
Oh, big job for Vince Carter to get there, but I like Vince a lot. It's one of the nicest guys. I don't think he translates that great to television. I think the problem is, and it was a problem for Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A. Smith. I forget the young lady's name. She does a really good job hosting the NBA.
Malika Andrews.
And Bob Myers.
Yeah.
You know, all they're going to say is they're not Charles, Kenny, Shaq, and Ernie. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter who you put out there. And NBC will have the same problem with Carmelo, Vince, and Maria. You're not it. Or as Bobby would say, you're not him, right?
That's so cute.
You're not him.
All right, the internet has spoken. We got a rumor, you guys. The Super Bowl halftime show for February of 2026. Jay-Z.
Did that drop and wasn't supposed to?
Sure, it wasn't supposed to, and they haven't made it official, but when the Twitter world gets a hold of it. So I don't hate this at all. As a matter of fact, Beyonce in Paris brought Jay-Z out. They did Crazy in Love and a couple of songs. So he owns Roc Nation, which produces the halftime show.
So my question is, will she be bringing out guests in Atlanta when she's doing, what, four nights here?
By the way, in 2 weeks. I think that's the 10th, July 10th and through the 12th, I believe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to dominate Mercedes-Benz.
You're not kidding. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's star power at the highest level.
There you go.
And watching him come out there. So, by the way, not that anybody really cares, the Phoenix Suns led that series 2-0. And then... lost four games in a row for Milwaukee to get their championship. So, there you go. A series.
And the Hawks were what that year? 8 seed? 9, 6 seed?
We were somewhere there, and we were 2-2 with the Bucks. And Trae Young stepped on a referee. That's right.
That Phoenix team, that was pre-Kevin Durant, too.
That was Booker and who else? I'm just trying to look at their roster a little bit more.
Chris Paul. DeAndre Ayton.
Okay. Yeah, those are their key guys. Thank you for that. So, it's just...
I was talking about Jay-Z at halftime.
Oh, no, we were talking about basketball. Cameron Payne, Jay Crowder. Are you excited
about...
that was
before Kevin Durant. Wow.
Yeah. Did I tell you? Mikal Bridges, does that excite you? All right,
Trae Young stepped on a referee's foot. I'm talking about Jay-Z and Maria Taylor. This is what you come for here.
Hey, we'll come back, play some Three Strikes, wrap it up. Sports Radio 929.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. Sandra Golden, Steak Shapiro. You want to Tell us who's bringing us the 10 o'clock hour.
Thanks, John. Oh, 10 o'clock hour is wiseguysprowash.com. Mention me, get $70 off. They will clean and it'll sparkle and you'll be so glad. You'll say, why didn't I do this sooner? Wiseguysprowash.com. John Foy, big game of the night, y'all. It's the Braves and it's the Mets in New York City. Spencer Strider on the mound for our Bravos going against Frankie Montas.
Yeah, it'd be great to keep this thing rocking and rolling against the Mets while you have him down, right? Get some offense.
I don't even want to tell you the numbers, but he has an ERA over 12. And always it's those games on paper where you're like, well, we should win. Well, we're the Braves, and we should do a lot of things. So there we go. I wouldn't hate it if they gave Michael Harris a day off. Like, you know what? Take the day off. Let's have a little break.
It's going to be really interesting how this entire organization looks at this offseason. If indeed this is who we are, which is a team that will come up short in the playoffs, had a lot of injuries, had to deal
I don't think they're getting in the playoffs.
That's what I mean.
Wild card.
Up short.
Come up short.
Yeah, this is who they are. Right. I mean, they're not this bad, but I don't think they're going to the playoffs. And then it's like, well, is it time to say – Brian Snicker was tremendous, but this whole deal maybe needs some new faces and new energy. Because it's kind of like, you know, Walt Weiss and Brian Snicker, and now Freddie Gonzalez. It's like the old boys network. And then, you know, we know our lineup. It's Acuna, Harris, Riley, Olsen, Murphy, Ozuna. Like, it's the same kind of... Maybe it's time to tell Michael Harris, this doesn't work for us offensive. Like, and maybe it's Ozzie Albies. Like, you need to be the top three second baseman. Like, no more guarantees. Like, it feels like this team, top to bottom, has had the same look for about 6 years. And you cannot argue results. Brian Snicker is a gem. He's done a great job. And I'm not telling you that. I just think there'll be a little different mindset of, like, the entire
deal. It's not Brian Snicker's fault. But so easy.
This I is can't cheap even and easy. Mention
Hold
him.
Hold on. No. And I'm going to raise my hand that I'm biased. Okay. I listened to Keith Kachuk on a podcast, Panthers, Florida Panthers, back to back.
What podcast?
I'll come up with it in a second.
You always listen to the best. I guess you have a lot of 6 hour drives, but you always listen to the best podcast, by the way.
Yeah, pivot right now. Smartless podcast does with Gordon Ramsay. It was just last week. When I tell you the love that Jason Bateman has given Atlanta and the Atlanta food scene, you're going to cry. You're going to begin to cry. But it's one of the best podcast segments
that
you listen. Because I was driving. You didn't want to have a wreck. Anywho, Keith Kachuk. He said there was not one single road game this year that not only did the whole team go to a dinner together, they would find out ahead of time where we're going. They would take the trainers. They would take the bus driver. They would take whoever's a part of their group. Every single game.
Wow.
Okay? So then pivot to after Oklahoma City won, and Jalen Williams is on the set with Scott Van Pelt. He says almost the exact thing. He goes, you have no idea. We're together all the time. And we do it by choice. We're sitting on that plane. We are all playing Uno together. We're playing the card games. And it's everybody. It's the assistant coaches. It's the trainers. And I couldn't help but think, like, do you remember in 21, you guys, when Freddie would tell us that they started calling ahead to go to restaurants
dinners,
together?
Yeah.
That's right. So I just thought, you know what I haven't heard about this group? Maybe they're doing it, and I don't know anything about it.
Right, it's a good point. Dansby Swanson, part of that group. Freddie Freeman, part of that group.
That's right.
I think they're going to make a shift away from Snit and away from this coaching staff.
I think Snit may be, I mean, he's turning 70. I think he kind of hinted.
I think he's going to say this.
They're not firing him. I'm telling you right now, I would set my heels firmly sand.
It could be semantics. Be meaning they both agree. Brian's not dying to keep managing. They're not dying to bring him back. And I think they look at each other and go, this is the perfect time to figure out. And also putting those players on alert. You tell me, Bo. I mean, is there an element that these guys have their long contracts and they'd be in those spots for a long time, letting them know there is no spot guaranteed. top to bottom. We already know Sean Murphy's probably on his way out with Drake Baldwin. I mean, why is Michael Harris earned that spot? Ozzie Albies, everybody like, no, they're untouchable. It isn't.
Well, money's defense keeps him afloat. Albies is a completely different situation there. But if you look at the track record, I hate to still bring up the whole baseball card thing, but he has been better than this.
There is
something
last year
not right with this offense.
Ozuna, like, you know, I think there's going to be a different look, different voices, a different younger guy managing the team. I think it's all going to be different, which is it's been a ridiculous run of winning playoff games and winning a World Series and getting there when you're, you know, 10 games back or getting there last year when you were decimated. But sometimes you need a new voice.
Yeah.
I hope they don't say that about me and this profession, but you never know. The perfect beverage on a 100-degree day. The perfect beverage on a 100-degree day. That's what today is going to feel like. Very funny comedy. A piece of comedy, very funny, very offensive. Could be movie, television, stand-up, could be a skit.
Did you write that for Kids Book of Mormon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So you guys, Book of Mormon is playing starting tonight down at the Fox Theater in through Sunday. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get offended easily, do not go. It's written by the writers of South Park, so you can see where it's going.
It's a tremendous
musical.
It's
brilliant. Yeah.
So fun.
But it will offend you.
The perfect beverage on a 100-degree day. Very funny, very offensive, and in honor of Jason Bateman, your favorite Atlanta restaurant, which for a guy that does that for a living, we still haven't done Ladies on Radio in a couple of weeks. I don't know why I do it. I do it on V103. I do it on Star 94. Should do it on your own show.
You really should.
It's called The Steakhouse. I don't know. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. If you want to get aboard, easy questions, full lines, I hope. Perfect beverage on a 100-degree day. Very funny, very offensive comedy. And your favorite Atlanta restaurant, if you want to be a part of. If you hadn't heard, the Celtics began unraveling the championship team from 2 years ago. Olympian, gold medal winner, two-time NBA champion Drew Holiday gone. He's gone to Portland. They'll get back Anfernee Simon, who they may trade him as well. He's on the end of a deal. He averages 20 a game. He's going to get paid a lot of money. Probably won't be in Boston, or he'll be in Boston for 1 year. Look for Porzingis to get moved next. They are dumping cap, dumping dollars with Tatum out. Obviously, we all know about the Hawks with two number ones, looking to make a move to get higher up in the draft, which will not be easy with a 13 and a 21 because that, you know, the NBA is all about how high you can pick, and that just may not be high enough. You literally heard the word Asa Newell from Georgia, huh?
Well, the mock draft in the AJC today has Asa Newell going at 12, and we picked 13th.
Okay.
So
I saw a lot of Asa Newell. I went to more Georgia games than one would imagine. He's got great hands around the basket. He is.
Why didn't they win more with him? More importantly, why didn't they win more with Ant-Man? Great question, Sandra. The name of the podcast for the hockey, which you guys I highly recommend, is called the Empty Netters Podcast. It's very, very good. You'll like it.
Did he talk about Brad Marchand and him at all?
The love for Brad Marchand down in South Florida right now.
Because they hated each other, those two, right? Keith Tkachuk knocked
him
out.
Yeah, until he's on your team. Right. Keith Tkachuk used to beat the living fire. I mean, that's how long Brad Marchand's been around.
Dude, Brad Marchand was so knocked out of the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Tkachuk jacked him up. And now they're like, what do they call him? Thick as thieves?
Yeah.
Best friends.
Did you see him partying down in Miami with that
cup? No, so what was it? Where were they? Tell me. They did a story on Marchand's 24 hours with him after they won it.
They went to the 11 down in Miami.
Oh, that
and
place
they
is
took
wild.
Over the place. And they brought the wild. Cup in with them.
Are so the wives with them? You know, that's a pseudo strip club, nightclub, all combination.
I didn't see a lot of the wives that maybe they were.
24 hour place, all that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get some calls.
I will tell you, if you go on Instagram or TikTok, the Panthers goalie, Sergei Bobrovsky, went back to his neighborhood. Okay, so he's in a gated community, and it was about 6 a.m. it looked like, because it's a little bit dark and light outside. And he went walking door to door to wake up his neighbors. So you get the Nest Cam videos, and he speaks the Russian. So he's like, dude, get out here. It is so funny. I just love, man, do I miss hockey around these parts.
So cool. The Stanley Cup stuff is the best. You want to just play that from Warman? We'll tell you what song it was. I don't know. He's got some.
Hello? Hello!
Oh, yeah.
I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello. Hi. My name is Jesus Christ. You have a lovely home.
Hello.
Great musical. All right. That's a little bit of Book of Mormon.
Get there early. The opening number is going to suck you in, and you're going to laugh yourself silly.
Hey, Mike, in Atlanta, the perfect beverage on a 100-degree day.
Oh, man. Stay real quick. I told Chase and Ryan over at 246 that you shot them out. I saw you at the works last week. I delivered to them, and they told me to tell you thank you, man. I told them you gave them a real big shout-out.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll take some Liquid IV, man. I drink it now, so some Liquid IV.
Very funny, very offensive.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Your favorite Atlanta restaurant?
Oh, man, I like Ippolito's.
Yeah, they do a great job. Those garlic rolls are, talk about dopamine.
Yeah.
Hey, Jay. Yeah, thank you. Hey, Jay in Cartersville, the perfect beverage on a 100-degree day.
The Mountain Blast Powerade, the Blue Con.
Very funny, very offensive.
You're a little tough on the ladies, but I like Corey Holcomb. He's funny.
Your favorite Italian restaurant? Atlanta restaurant.
I don't.
Favorite Atlanta restaurant. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I like Marcel's Steakhouse. They're pretty good. I just went there.
You must have some cash, bro.
Yeah, well, it was for an anniversary, so I had to go all out.
Stepped up, bro. Stepped up large. Thank you. JD and Monroe. The perfect beverage on a 100-degree day.
Ice cold Budweiser.
Very funny, very offensive.
Sanford and Son.
That is Red Fox.
So great.
Dude, what he did.
On
what's
Esther.
Her name? On Esther.
On Esther, baby.
And what he says to his poor son, was it Lionel? Is that his son's name?
So funny.
Oh, my God. Your favorite? By the way, listen to Red Fox's comedy albums. You want to talk about offensive.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Makes Richard Pryor look like a choir boy. Hey, your favorite Atlanta restaurant?
Easy. Fat Matt's Rib Shack.
That's where Anthony Bourdain went. May he rest in peace. He was hung over.
There you go.
He was hung over as hell. He was at the Claremont the night before.
Is that right?
When
they did
Atlanta.
Love the
Claremont.
Thanks, buddy. He went out to the Claremont, bounced around Atlanta, hung over as hell, went to Fat Matt's Rib Shack, drinking a beer the next day.
So I want you to Google Dave Portnoy getting kicked out of the pizza joint last night. Some employee didn't know what he was doing and said, you can't film on our property.
Oh, my God.
Y'all,
please
it is not going to end well. He gave him a zero. Did you see it?
Oh, my God.
And he was like, this is not going to end well. You're going to enjoy it so much.
That poor employee.
I know, right?
Damn.
Also, just don't be rude, though. They showed the guy being completely silly, but okay.
Thank you. Bo, Caleb, Sandy, back tomorrow. Lots more fun on the way. Let's get a dub for the Braves on the road.
Let's go Strider.
And thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day. Bye!
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.